The Baptism of Our Lord in the Year of Our Lord, 2025. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by John for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, the reading was from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The evangelist Luke not only wrote the gospel that bears his name, the gospel that we'll be focusing on this year, but he continued telling the history of the Christian church as the author of the book of Acts. In terms of word count, between these two books, Luke wrote the majority of the New Testament, writing just over 27% of the New Testament's words compared to the Apostle Paul's 23%. And to tell the story of both Jesus Christ and the growth of Christ's church from its humble beginnings in Jerusalem to its proclamation of the gospel in the capital of the Roman Empire, well, that was no small feat. But Luke, widely regarded to have been a doctor or physician, was well educated and well prepared for just such a task. His gospel book and its sequel are not just bland history textbooks, but they paint a picture of Jesus Christ and his church, with themes that begin in the Gospel of Luke and find their end in the book of Acts. And as our Thursday Bible study attendees know, since we are studying the book of Acts there, sometimes Luke doesn't provide as many details for a story in his gospel, so that he can anticipate a similar story in the book of Acts. Luke is sometimes short on details in some stories from Jesus' life, just to provide extra detail when those similar stories occur in the life of Christ's body, the church. Luke does this to raise our anticipation while reading his gospel, to see how things occur in the life of the church while reading his book of Acts. And this happens with our gospel reading for today, featuring the evangelist Luke's account of the baptism of our Lord. Notice how Luke narrates Jesus' baptism. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. Unlike in the other three Gospels, Luke provides very little ceremony to Jesus' baptism. He puts it in the past tense, making it seem like it's already happened. He doesn't even narrate that John the Baptist did it. It's almost like an afterthought. All the people were being baptized by John, and oh yeah, So was Jesus. Luke does this for a couple of reasons. The first is so that grammatically, what happened after Jesus had been baptized and while he was praying, those events could be emphasized. Luke tells us, "The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.'" By focusing on the details after Jesus' baptism, when the heavens were opened, Luke shows us why it was necessary for Jesus, the sinless Son of God, to be baptized. In his baptism, Jesus receives the Holy Spirit, which marks him as the Christ, the Anointed One, meaning that through the life and ministry of Jesus, God is working a new creation. And in this new creation, people will be led and guided by the Holy Spirit as their hearts of stone and sin are replaced with hearts of flesh and forgiveness. In Jesus' baptism, God the Father announces that this man is his Son, and he is pleased with him. He delights in him, since Jesus has been chosen to accomplish God's work of salvation, and since Jesus will bring that work to completion, making all those who repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ to be children of God. And in Jesus' baptism, the heavens are open, meaning that us sinful fallen human beings have renewed access to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Plus, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, us formerly dying human beings have the promise of life everlasting in heaven. The second reason that Luke doesn't provide many details about Jesus' baptism in his gospel is to anticipate the greater reality of baptism, that is, Christian baptism. Especially as baptisms are carried out and become part of the life of the church in the book of Acts. John the Baptist told us to expect this fuller reality of baptism. He said, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And in order to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire, Jesus himself had to be baptized with these things. So, in the Jordan River by his relative John the Baptist, Jesus was baptized with water and the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form as a dove. And by this, Jesus, true God and true man, identified himself with all of us, taking all our sins upon himself in those baptismal waters and sanctifying those baptismal waters, so that when they are poured on us, we receive Christ's righteousness and the entirety of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some 3 years after his baptism in the Jordan, Jesus mounted his cross and was baptized there with fire. the fire of God's wrath upon your sins, which he had taken upon himself to make substitutionary atonement and pay the full penalty of sins for you. Now, when those baptismal waters are poured on you, you receive forgiveness of all your sins. And your baptism with fire no longer destroys, but purifies you to do good works and to live a sanctified life here in this world and a new, perfect life in the world to come. And in the book of Acts, Luke, the author, wastes no time describing how baptism, Christian baptism with water, the Holy Spirit, and fire, becomes part of the life of the church. Already in Acts chapter 2, after Peter's sermon on the original day of Pentecost, the people present who heard Peter's words ask, "What shall we do?" To which Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Luke then tells us, "So those who received Peter's words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." And baptism continues to be part of the life of the church in the book of Acts, with Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch in chapter 8, Ananias baptizing Paul in chapter 9, and Paul correcting false teachings of baptism in chapters 18 and 19. Baptism wasn't just for Jesus as he began his ministry. It wasn't just for the church during the first century as it grew and expanded throughout the entire Roman Empire. But baptism is still and always will be a reality for the life of the church. The evangelist Luke would be happy to know that the pattern of Christ's baptism continues in our own baptisms. Many of you were baptized right here in this building at that font. Others of you were baptized not in this building, but still here in Chico, perhaps even at our old church building on 16th Street. And still others of you were baptized somewhere else completely. No matter where you were baptized, no matter by what pastor, the reality of baptism and the emphasis of Jesus' baptism are both yours. In those baptismal waters, waters which at one point were poured on you and still cover you, this is the reality. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And just like at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father declared him his beloved Son. So in your baptism, Jesus takes away your sins and opens heaven for you. The Holy Spirit descends upon you to lead you and guide you in life. And God the Father delights to say to you, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God's richest blessings to you this week, this weekend, and this week ahead.